You're listening to episode number 103 of the Mark in Russia broadcast, and I'm Mark.
In a world where truth is often elusive and hard to find, where the masses wander aimlessly, looking for something or someone to believe in. From the far north comes the help and truth that people seek. The Mark in Russia podcast is a broadcast from the belly of the bear in Chelyabinsk, Russia, and is aimed straight at your heart and soul. So strap yourself in for the ride and don't be a wussy.
The very first podcasts I produced more than 100 episodes ago were part of a series called Pet Peeves I hit number 1 through number 6. I use this series to illustrate some annoying common mistakes made by Russians learning English and how to correct them. Today's episode will also spotlight a pet peeve of mine. In the past 6 years, I've had the opportunity to listen to thousands of hours of radio and podcasts about a whole cornucopia of topics, pretty much whatever tickled my fancy at the time. I listened to both male and female voices and have picked up on some patterns almost exclusively with females, meaning these are the patterns I picked up were prevalent with females. Although I absolutely despise listening to any liberal people speaking politics, and I won't, but if a liberal has a radio show or podcast on anything other than politics, I'll certainly listen to it if it's good. In order to break my findings down even further, the most annoying speech patterns belong to the most progressive liberal women. Conservative women speakers typically sound more natural, less automaton, and how shall I put this? More like a woman. I'll be playing some sound samples today to illustrate what I'm speaking about, and I don't want to give the impression that I'm making fun of the individual or the program that they're narrating. I'm not. Some of these annoying speech patterns are attached to people who are interesting and present good material. If they would only lose the annoying habits, they could be the complete package. First, let's listen to a sample of upspeak. This is where there is a rise in tone at the end of a sentence, but not only when posing a question, which would be normal in a correct time for this rise in tone. But no, I'm speaking about just when they make simple statements. Well, let's listen to one now.
They're singing along with something that's incorrect. Music is a great tool for reinforcing memory.
Yeah, you heard that rising tone on the word memory, which was a statement and not a question. Here's another.
So my next outfit is for like when you're at the beach or the pool. It's very, very casual. This is a shirt. It looks kind of big, but it's supposed to be. I got it in a size up so that it would be really slouchy. So over like a bright bikini top, that would be so cute.
Here we have a business speech expert give her 2 cents worth.
I want to ask you a question. Have you ever heard anybody use uptalk? Uptalk is a rising inflection. It sounds like you're asking a question, but you're really making a statement. In the U.S., we used to refer to this as valley girl talk. Whatever you call it, it is a disaster in the workplace. This vocal pattern will not serve you well.
Our expert gives an example and then goes on to explain that this pattern of speech will typically keep you from obtaining a high position within a company and can be a disaster for your career. I'll go into things in more depth, but first let's listen to a little comedy routine between Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Jimmy Kimmel.
Are we continuing to do this?
But yeah, until somebody loses, yeah.
Everybody sit back and take your shoes off. Or I should say, everybody sit back and take your shoes off. because I think we're going to be having this conversation for a long time.
I would really rather people don't take their shoes off, because
then
if they
their
take
feet
their shoes off,
smelly.
We'll have to smell their feet.
Right, and that can be really repulsive.
That can
and
be so gross.
Gross, and also, if they haven't had a pedicure, or if they were working out right before they came to your show, and they hadn't taken a shower, it would even be worse.
Oh my God, I need a pedicure so bad.
Yeah, you do? Yeah, you totally do.
You can see through my shoes?
I mean, I have x-ray vision.
I think you won that one.
Yeah!
Julia Louis-Dreyfus, the season premiere of V.
Since the 1990s, with the advent of Valley Girl Speak, and I seem to recall that this came originally from Australia, well, and its subsequent mockery in pop culture, this upspeak trend has continued, actually. The New York Times claims that, here I'm just quoting, whether it be uptalk, pronouncing statements as if they are questions, like this, or the incessant use of like as a conversation filler, vocal trends associated with young women are often seen as markers of immaturity or even stupidity, right? But linguists, many of them whom once promoted theories consistent with that attitude, now say such thinking is outmoded. Girls and women in their teens and 20s deserve credit for pioneering vocal trends in popular slang, they say, adding that most young women use these embellishments in much more sophisticated ways than people tend to realize. A lot of these really flamboyant things you hear are cute, and girls are supposed to be cute, said Penny Eckert, a professor of linguistics at Stanford University. But they're not just using them because they're girls. They're using them to achieve some kind of interactional and stylistic end. End quote. Well, let me take that New York Times statement apart. First of all, this is all that could be expected from the Times, which is a liberal rag sheet and kind of deifies anything and all about women and girls. This gets a little bit old and stale, in my opinion. Perhaps this is one of the reasons that the New York Times, like all liberal newspapers, it's shrinking at a super fast rate and will most likely be extinct in a few short years. Thank God. Yes, women speaking like a bunch of airheaded, silly, retarded morons is trendsetting in the eyes of the Times, but in the eyes, or better to say ears, of those of us forced to listen to this, it sounds immature and indicates a severe lack of confidence. If this is the image that these girls want to project, then they're doing a bang-up job of it. It clearly shows the unoriginal trajectory of young Americans these days. Follow the example of some pop culture star and all sound ridiculous. Living outside of the States, I hear so many returning visitors commenting on how uneducated people in America sound. And this is based in a large part on the sounds of our communication. In a few short years, we've gone from a nation to be imitated to a nation to be laughed at and mocked. So yeah, I'm pissed at the airheaded ditzes who have spread the sounds of ignorance. Their justification often, they'll even say, oh, it's just because, oh, I'm not going to try to even imitate them, but they'll say it's because you don't understand the little nuances of how we're doing it, how we're communicating with each other. That may be so, but I also don't understand the nuances and everything of the African speak words like all kinds of crazy clucking sounds, but that doesn't mean that they're trendsetters or that's what I want to imitate. So, enough of that. I'm especially amazed at the way this messed up way of speaking has even spread to TV hosts and especially radio. It's as if women who want to get into radio or audio media try to incorporate these screwed up styles as part of their own. When you sound like an immature airhead with no confidence, your message or material is already discounted because of this. Talk about a glass ceiling. Ladies, you've installed this one yourself. Congratulations. You know, some time back I decided I would no longer allow the liberal word police to dictate to me any more about politically correct speech, and I would no longer practice the fascist requirement of self-censorship. With this newly acquired freedom to be normal, I'd like to say that when a guy does this upspeak stuff, he sounds only like a pussified D-man fag. Why do young men, and some not so young men, allow society to teach them that acting like a guy is being a bully, and we should all act like pussified chicks? I'd much rather die as a man than live like a chick. Let's listen to an example of this.
My name is Frenson Pakpahun. I am in 10th grade. I'm a sophomore at Dover High School.
So what the hell? Does this guy not even know his name, grade, school? Well, that's how it sounds to an English speaker who, well, to those of us that aren't pussified anyhow. Very often, the so-called men that upspeak are the fathers of teenage girls. So now we learn how to speak from our children? To these guys, I have to say that you are a pathetic excuse for a man and not so hot in terms of teaching your own kids. Okay, let's shift now from this effeminate, immature upspeak trend to something else known as vocal fry. What is vocal fry? Let's listen to a greatly exaggerated example of vocal fry now.
And that is
vocal fry tones.
Ugh, gross.
Hi, so what's going on in this country is something that really irritates me. And that is vocal fry tones, especially heard with young teens.
Yeah, okay, that was a bit exaggerated, but necessary to tune your ears for my other examples. Again, it is primarily young women who now use this extremely annoying speech pattern. In fact, a study done in 2012 on females between 25 and 34 years of age showed that fully two-thirds of this group used this vocal fry, typically at the end of their sentences. Prior to a decade ago, if you heard a person speaking in this manner, it indicated serious vocal cord problems. So why the hell did these females do this? Well, there are different theories. One being that they feel that their voices are too high and won't be taken serious enough. So by doing this growling thing at the end of their sentence, they believe that it will give them more credibility. Another theory is that because some of the pop idols of this class of young females do this regularly, such as Kardashians and some singer named Kesha. In any case, it sounds like crap, and to the women in broadcasting that do this, it makes you appear to be the little girl who is trying to seem all grown up by wearing her dad's shirts. It doesn't work. It's not cute, and we don't take you serious. Here are a few more clips giving you more examples.
I've always felt a little embarrassed by my suburban roots, by the cul-de-sac especially, which, with its uterine shape and having the word sack in it, gave me the feeling that I spent my early years coddled and sheltered in an asphalt womb.
Embarrassed. Asphalt womb.
Matt says that by the 70s and 80s, our faith in the nuclear family and in the suburban American dream was starting to break down, and it's evident all over pop culture, like in the 1980s classic...
Families. Pop culture. Breakdown. This young lady may actually be telling a good, intriguing story, but many of us will never know, because we are just put off by her pretentiousness. Here's a woman broadcaster speaking normal. Well, my idea of normal.
In 1957, a market researcher named James Vickery coined the phrase subliminal messaging.
I can listen to that and even get interested in the story. How about some vocal fry and upspeak?
Doesn't use commas when he should. As a society, we do grant our artists poetic license, and you know, musicians are artists too. It's frustrating for teachers because
the next example sounds like about an 8-year-old girl trying to sound serious with her little miniature roar.
To competition.
Alter has never been to a yoga competition, although he says he finds the prospect fascinating. And
In all of the above examples, I really mean no harm to the women who are speaking. Their material may have been great even, but they should know that they sound ridiculous and trying to change their voice is not having a positive effect or outlook. Now, the next couple of examples are from a so-called woman who I truly dislike. Her name is Sandra Fluck, and she's an Obama operative. Her voice, but more importantly, her attitude and her message, makes me envision scenes where I finally silence her and resolve my headache with the swinging of a shovel. Not a pretty sight or thought, but no great loss.
We are all grateful for the new regulation that will meet the critical health care needs of so many women.
Yeah, I'm already seeing that shovel.
When I look around my campus, I see the faces of the women affected by this lack of contraceptive coverage. And especially in the last week, I have heard more and more of their stories.
Now swinging that shovel.
And so I'm here today to share their voices, and I want to thank you for allowing them, not me, to be heard.
Now silence. The next clip will be a normal one. The woman speaks in such a way that we understand she's a female and apparently not transgendering or something as the vocal fry folks sound. No upspeak, and because of this, she sounds both interesting and confident.
The Jamaican team came in last in the two-men bobsled events in Sochi, but true to the spirit of the 1994 film Cool Runnings, Jamaican fans sent the team off with a song written to sync with the twists and turns of the 1,500-meter track.
To the left, it's bobsled time. On this freezing night, watch Jamaica slide by.
To the right.
The gold for the two-man bobsled went to Russia. U.S. took the bronze, the first two-man bobsledding medal for the U.S. in 62 years, which may have something to do with a new high-tech bobsled designed by BMW.
Now, what's wrong with that? 6 years ago, after meeting with and being interviewed by a well-known U.S. Journalist who was visiting the city where I live in Russia, I remember that this reporter pieced together very interesting stories, and a result of hearing her, I got bit by the radio bug myself. Here's Annie.
Chelyabinsk is experiencing a baby boom, a result of recent economic improvements here. And Dr. Edward Reben, chairman of the Regional Legislature's Medical Commission, says health care is much better than when I met him in the 1990s.
Had Annie used upspeak or vocal fry, would the radio bug have bit me? Hell, I don't know, but I do know I enjoyed her stories, which I'm less likely to do if a woman uses these terrible speech patterns. So I thank Annie and the fact that she was born in a more serious and less shallow time, and for the fact that I have now spent half of my income on an ever-expanding microphone collection. Thanks, Anne. Actually, although I keep saying that I'll play one last clip, this one will really be the last one. Now, I may not be fond of these newer female, mostly speech patterns. They still sound on their worst day 100 times better than a Democrat politician. Thank you, Mark Levin, for the following sputtering Democrat fool montage.
What are they? Can it get a finding? The ghost track?
They have an eye.
It costs when if you gave them.
With the withdrawal, bringing U.S. home troops from home.
And the.
You need somebody.
Wait. So what? Finally.
Of budget.
But resist we much, we must, and we will much about that be committed.
I'm a warrior.
There you go. There is our collection. As longtime listeners know, I collect these goofs and their goofy, kind of odd Tourette's-like comments, like people collect coins and stamps.
Thanks for listening to today's broadcast. I hope you found it interesting enough to come back again next time. Until then, goodbye.